You don't need to be called to be a watchman to be in that training. Some of it will apply to prophets. Some of it will apply to intercessors. And again, we're laying a foundation tonight. But when it comes to the watchman, there's more to it, because a lot of you have discernment. And just because you have discernment doesn't make you a watchman. So let's just talk about discernment. Discernment is kind of knowing. We say, I just know that I know down in my belly. You know something down in your spirit that doesn't make any sense always to your eyes and your ears. Something might appear one way, but inside of you, you're going, I just got to check in the spirit over that. Something doesn't seem right. And you don't know why you feel it. It's real hard to come to knowing, is this God? Is it my imagination? Is this really true? I don't want to think something if it's just me. And that's why prophets are accountable to prophets. That's why we have a team where if you do get a check in your spirit, you're supposed to bring it to me so that we know who all is getting a check in the spirit. And there has been experience with this lately, and there is warning of God that there are more attacks coming. So we're just beginning to sit up and take notice and say, we need to do some investigating, we need to do some prayer, we need to set up some boundaries and some protection. So when you bring your checks, when you bring those feelings to someone, you're not gossiping. You are the ministers here. You are supposed to watch. Even if you're not a watchman, if you have a feeling like that about something, you need to report it to me. So they're all coming to one spot, and we can gather them together, compare them, and begin to pray. And you are protecting this body. You're not gossiping, okay? And I'm going to go to the thing of sometimes what you detect in somebody may be because you're supposed to be doing prayer for them. Maybe you pick up something in a person who's a fine person. They're not a wolf. They're not a threat. But they have some issues in their life. And God is trusting you to show you those issues so you'll begin to pray for their deliverance, not so you'll judge and condemn them. The first step is always to desire their deliverance and to desire repentance and desire to soak them in love and that they will see things and that they will come out of that. And it's always to rescue. We always want to move to rescue, not to condemn. The more God can trust you to do that, the more things he can show you. And it's not like, Apostle Steve was here during communion, and he comes to me and says, this is what I want you to do tonight. I want you to take your notebook, watch everyone coming through the door. God is going to tell you their sin. I'm going, what? I want you to sit there and write down everybody's sin as they come through the door and pray for them, because I don't want anyone to die when we take communion. And I'm like, I don't want to know everybody's sin when they come in the door. I mean, I can't take communion, I'm not taking communion after I sit here and watch everybody come through the door with God exposing their sin. How am I going to be worthy to take any communion? I have enough trouble getting rid of my own. Now I got to know everybody's. But he prayed for that to happen, and it did. And I was just like, he didn't tell me what I was going to do, and I didn't like putting it on paper at all. But I still am not sure what I learned from it. But I sat there, and it was like everybody walked through that door, and it was just like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know. And I'm writing it all down that night. I was grieved. I was so, because it was of God, it wasn't done in judgment. He had prayed for me to have that discernment, and God gave it to me in compassion. I was so grieved for people. I mean, it was just breaking my heart to see the things that I was seeing that they were trapped in. It was breaking my heart. And I was praying, oh, God, deliver them from that. Oh, God, open their eyes to see that. Oh, God, don't let them take communion tonight. I mean, it was like, I was afraid people were going to drop dead, He never had me read the list. He never had me share the list. He had me tear that list up. But what God did in me was put so much compassion in me when I saw people sin. It was amazing to feel the heart of God, to feel what God must have been feeling as people came through that door that night. And he sees all that all the time and still loves us. He is so amazing. and he wants to deliver us. So God wants to reveal things to you, and he wants to be able to trust you. The more he can trust you to love the people, even the ones that we have to put out of here because they are a wolf, we don't hate them. We don't wish evil on them. You know, we don't hope they go out and get hit by lightning. We hope they repent. They can't be here if they're hurting people, but we always keep praying that they repent and get delivered. So God will give you what he can trust you to share of the grief of his heart about people. So if you have discernment, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a watchman. It could just mean you're in touch with God and he trusts you and he wants you to pray for someone. Intercessors get a lot of discernment, so they know how to pray. Prophets, some prophets get a lot of discernment about people. Some of them don't get any discernment about people. They just see future events that God shows them. So prophets may or may not have discernment. But pretty much if you're a watchman, you come into the category of a prophet with discernment. So let's look at Ezekiel 33. This is a very heavy position to be put in. It really is. There's a lot of responsibility in being a watchman. In Ezekiel 33:6, the Lord says, if the watchman sees the sword come, and he blows not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword comes and it takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So it's a very big responsibility if God is telling you to warn people and you don't do it. And then they get taken away by the enemy because you didn't warn them. But he doesn't tell you you have to stop them from what they're doing. He only tells you to warn them. You blow the horn. You don't go hit them in the head with the horn and threaten them that they better do it. You just blow the horn. The warning is your responsibility. The response is not. So you are in a very responsible position. The more responsibility is on those of maturity because we have a practice time. Anytime we're coming into position with God, he gives us a practice time with it. So those of you training into being watchmen, nobody expects you to see everything, know everything, bring every warning, and know what to do. God doesn't expect you to. You will be partnering with more mature watchmen, and you'll be seeing what they do. You will be seeing some things, but God will expect you to share them with your trainer so that they can begin to show you how to move and what to do. So right now, if you're just becoming into that position, you know, you've got a little more leeway for more mistakes. The more mature watchman, it gets more responsible, and he shows them more things. The question is really not, because after you hear that, well, I thought I wanted to be one, but now that I hear how responsible it is, I just changed my mind. I don't want to be one anymore. You don't really get to decide if you want to be one. You get to discern whether or not you've been called to be one, whether that's what God has designed you for, chosen you for, if it's him calling you. So the question is, are you called? Are you called to be a watchman? And if you're called, will you surrender to that call? Colossians 1, Harvey, if you'd read 1 through 12.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
So I want to see some things here. This pertains to ministry in general, but especially when you're being called into a particular ministry. They start off, the leaders here, start off by saying, since we heard of your love.
Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. your faith with all of my heart. I will seek your face with all of my mind. I will seek your face with all of my strength, for you are my Lord. You are my Lord. You are my Lord. You are my Lord. You are
the Lord God Almighty.
is to come. With all creation I see, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Your name is power, breath, and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I see, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. All creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. And Lord, we adore you. We're filled with wonder. This life we will never know all that there is to know about you, God. We worship you. We're filled with wonder.
and you choose to forgive. And then God says, now that you forgave them and released them, okay. Because if you don't forgive them, a machine with multi-razor blades, just shred them, Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I get clear? I'm just telling you how we pray. He's doing it. Is God bigger than you? Who's the...